then we can keep the questions coming. So we want to look at the word God has spoken to us, or any life issues that may be on your heart that you want to ask questions. Please, where are the microphones? Can we put the microphones all over the place? And maybe we need, Ezekiel will tell us how we operate this. If you want to ask a question and you don't want to use the microphone to ask the questions, please, you can type the question. Go on, Uncle, just come on. You're more savvy than I am with this Slido. Before I call it what it's not.
Okay. For the Q&A tonight, we're going to use slido.com. You can type into your browser slido.com or sli.do and use the code N105. You can ask any questions anonymously and we'll try and answer the questions.
Slido. Okay. And the pattern also now will be we will have a panel that will be answering the questions. And the panel will be the vessels God has used this month or each of the months to speak to us and teach us during the Bible study sessions. So as the questions start coming, if you type it there, I will just ask some questions. And if you know the questions, if you know the answer, I was thinking of what prize to give, but somehow I couldn't conclude what prizes to give out tonight. So my first question is, what scripture... Okay, good. Don't bring that slide back again. What scripture... or scriptures is the theme for January taken from? You give us the scripture and you give us the theme for January. Okay, there's a young man, Apostle Andrew. Can we give him the microphone, please? You tell us the theme for January and you tell us what scriptures or scripture where you will find the theme. All right, let's go.
So the theme is shut the door.
The theme is shut the door.
The scripture is Matthew 6, verses 6.
Okay, let's see if it's right. The theme is shut the door. And the scripture is Matthew 6, 6. Come on, why are you jealous? Clap for him. All right. Okay, what is the name, and this one might be a bit tough, this name is not in the Bible, but what is the name, the full name of the vessel that God used to speak to us on the first day of the retreat? The full name. The name is not, you again? Okay, let's try somebody. Are you raising up your hand, sir? Okay, you've got a mic in front of you. Switch it on. Full names, okay?
Shapo Amada. Amadi.
Is it correct? Is it? All right. Shapo, if you're watching, somebody has just called you out here. All right, let's clap for him. That's the name. Shapo, Pastor Shapo Amadi. Okay, let me give Andrew the bonus question. What's the name of the church that Pastor Shapo leads in Liverpool? You wouldn't find that answer in the Bible, sorry. Okay, he doesn't know. Yes, let's go to Zara. Why are we leaving the children to answer the questions? Anyway, because children...
The Iranian church.
The Iranian church. Is she correct? Yes. Are you sure? Final answer. Final. You don't want to change your mind? Phone a friend. 50-50. All right, let's clap for Zara. Okay, and the last question. Are the questions coming? Please ask the question. If you have a question, just raise up your hand. They will give you the microphone. Right. What was the scripture and the verses that the theme for the retreat was taken from? The scripture and the verses. Okay, let's try one of the married men. Let's see. Are you sure before you raise up your hand?
Oh, yes.
Okay, the scripture.
Isaiah chapter 43.
Isaiah chapter 43.
From verse 13.
From verse 13.
Don't say no, let's see.
This man just got married, though.
From verse 15?
Okay.
13. 15, sir. 15 to 18.
Final answer.
15 to 18.
From 15 to 18. Is it correct?
No.
No, they said no, sir. All right, who is sure? Please, no checking of notes. No Googling. You can't use Google. All right, let's try. Is that Nathaniel? Daniel? That's Daniel. Nathan? Sorry, Daniel. No, I said...
Isaiah to 15 to 18.
Isaiah...
Chapter 18.
Okay. Is it correct?
No.
All right. Phone your dad. Okay. You can phone your dad. You can phone Dr. Patrick. Yes. You know, he's very sure. I know he's very, very sure. So I want us to try someone else. Yeah. Isaiah 43. Okay. Shindy.
Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 to 28.
Verse?
1 to 28.
Is she correct? Yes. Very correct. Is she?
Yes.
All right, let's clap for Zara. It says Zara. Shindara. Okay, do we have any question up yet? Okay. Please, one of the ushers, can the ushers give me the register? For, you know, the church register. So I want to read out the topics, okay, of the Bible studies that we have listened to, especially this month. But if you have any general question, generally bothering your mind, you can please ask. And at this point, I want to welcome our panel tonight that will be answering the questions we ask. So let me first of all invite to the table, the Lord has prepared, Apostle Dr. Mrs. Ebolua Patrick. Where is she? Oh, you are looking for who she was. All right, please let's welcome. All right. So, and while she's coming, who remembers what she taught about during the Bible study? Is there a hand? I'm seeing a hand. You again? Okay. Let's see if your children were listening to you. No, I've not invited you.
Behind I've the not door. Invited.
Yeah, I will invite you specially.
Behind the door.
Sorry?
Behind the door.
All right, let's clap again for the disciple. Behind the door. All right, what do we do behind the door? Zara? Okay. Your mom taught us about...
We listen to God's instruction.
We listen to God's instruction. Okay, who remembered one of the stories she shared about what she does practically behind the doors in her house? Yeah. No. If you know it, raise up your hand. You speak into the microphone. No. You are in the same house with her. That would be.
She takes the. She and herself, they go, the children, they go to a room.
Yeah.
And she put on a music and she asks Then she puts off the light.
She puts off the light.
Yeah, and she just asks them to just listen to God. Yeah, and then nobody should talk.
And nobody should talk behind the door.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that what your mom has been doing to you? We need to report her to child. All right, okay. Thank you very much. And the second person on the panel tonight will be the only wife I married till death do us part. Please celebrate and welcome my wife. I was meditating this morning and I realized that I wrote a book called My Golden Sense. And I realized that actually my wife's name literally means gold. So I was wondering, is that where I got my golden sense from? Amen. Gentlemen and ladies, it's been a 22-year journey. I have no regret marrying this woman, and I pray that you will never regret marrying one another, you and your wives. Amen. All right, so can we give her another microphone? So any questions you have tonight, please just fire them, and God will help them to answer the questions. Slido, aslido.com is going to ask you for, what's that called? Okay. First question. How can shut the door apply to my work? How can shut the door apply to my work? And the question is asked by Mr. Anonymous, who does anonymous work. Yeah, it's open. Any one of you, free to fire.
Yes, yeah, so personally, what I do is, you know, well, some people know that every day at 12, we're meant to pray for 7 minutes, and we've been doing that for years in Love Assembly. So what I normally do, where I work, I'm entitled to a morning break, an afternoon lunch, and an afternoon break. So I decided years ago that my morning break, well, it's no longer morning, will be 12 noon. And that at 12 noon, no matter, unless I'm in a course where I can't escape, but normally on my team, they know once it's 12, Wura disappears. I just tell them I'm going on my break. But where do I go? I go into the toilet and I pray in the spirit for 7 minutes. Or I walk out of my office, put on my coat if it's cold, and I just go. I'm entitled to a 20-minute break anyway, so I just use those 20 minutes break to just pray. So it's between you and God, so you can do it. You know, it doesn't have to be too obvious for everyone to see that you're praying. You're fellowshipping with your Father, so it's a personal thing. It's a quiet thing. I don't do it when I'm supposed to work. So we have to put the balance there. I do it during my break, which I'm entitled to. So I just go out, or if I can't go out, if the weather is so cold, I just look for, even in the toilet cubicle, you know, the person that is in the next one might be wondering what's going on, but I've just decided to shut the toilet door because I'm talking to my Heavenly Father. So, you know, just find a time in your workplace that you can do that, maybe during your lunch. You know, whenever it's quiet, you know the times that it's quiet in your office, maybe you have like a spare room, you know, maybe you are the type of person that has patients that you see. But at one point or the other, during your day, you will have time, even if it's 10 minutes, to shut the door and be with God. Amen.
Okay, thank you very much. Sorry. Just aesthetics. No, move a little bit. Don't mind me. Okay, that's lovely. All right. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, you want to add to it? Okay, the questions, please keep the questions coming. Shut the door is our theme, but whatever question you want to ask, based on what has been taught this month. Yes, please. She's just shared her experience of how she practically, I think your mic, okay.
So this is to mothers, really.
Volume on that mic, please.
Okay, so this is to mothers, really, because we tend to overlook the fact that even being a stay-at-home mom is a job in itself, and some people just tend to downplay that. So you might not physically have an office, like Mama said, that you know you take yourself to every day. But whilst you're in that house as well, doing your chores, sorting out things, you can take time also to shut the door. What I do now is, once the kids go to bed, because in the morning it's always chaotic, we're running around trying to get them ready. But once they go to bed, then I do my own shutting the door again, if that makes sense. So I've done with the children, because I do it with the children so that I'm laying an example for them to follow. And then I take time after they've gone to bed to do my own. So it's just about creating that time. There is 24 hours, we can make it happen. It doesn't have to be lengthy. It doesn't have to be an hour. Even 10 minutes is enough for you to hear what the Spirit is saying. It's just you setting aside a time. You know, when Pastor Olumide said something about a set time where you have an appointment with God, so until that appointment is between you and God, it's not the set time. So it's just the same thing. I've set a time in my mind that, you know what, this is my appointment with God, and I'm going to shut out everything. When the kids go to bed, whether you like it or not, I don't care what's happening, or they just stay in your bed. This is my time with God. So even as a stay-at-home mom or someone that is not going into the office, you can set time out in your private place to shut the door and seek God's face.
Okay, thank you. Let's read Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, so that for the sake of maybe someone just hearing shut the door for the first time, what we're talking about. Let's read from let's read in context from verse 5. In verse 5, Matthew 6 verse 5 says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." And verse 6 is where we're going. "But when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So shut the door is just going before God where you can be alone to pray with him. Okay, thank you for that. Let's go to the questions. Somebody wants to say something? Okay. Right. Okay. "I'm inspired to inform the church that our heart is the first church, followed by whatever we do here." Okay, so the question is, do you think this inspiration is of God, biblical? So what the person is saying, that I think they received an inspiration to say our heart is the first church, followed by whatever we do here. Do you think this inspiration is of God, biblical? Okay, let me just address that quickly. Now, when you say, is this inspiration of God, is it biblical? I will throw the question back to the person who received that inspiration. Go inside the Bible and try to look for a scripture that backs up that inspiration. So that's the assignment I'll give the person before the end of this Bible study. So, because any inspiration you get must line up with the Word of God. So how you know it's biblical? Just like you said, is it in the Bible? Can you infer from the Bible that our heart is the first church, followed by whatever we do here? So the person wants to ask if this is biblical. So I'm throwing it back to you. Whoever the anonymous person is, ask the Holy Spirit to show you or give a scripture for that inspiration. If you can't find any or anything close to it, then keep searching. Right, let's go to the next question. Please, can you give practical steps on how to listen to the Holy Spirit? Practical steps on how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Yes, I'm throwing it to our panelists. Again, practical steps on how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Practical. Just keep your microphone on. It's off again. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so for me, what I tend to do is I grew up knowing that when you're praying, you need to shut your eyes. And I remember my children asking me once, why do we have to shut our eyes? And I gave them the answer my mom gave me when I was young, is to stop yourself from distractions. So when I'm in that zone, or well, when I'm trying to connect, what I tend to do is to try and limit the distractions around me. So I shut. I don't know how many people know that you can be somewhere and not be there. Yes. So it's something like that. So I zone out. My kids might be pulling, they might be calling. And that's why at times with kids, it might be a bit difficult because you really don't know what's going on and you tend to just want to make sure everyone is alive and not bleeding. So, but what I tend to do is just stay away from distractions, limit the distractions around me. I put on a music. I put on worship music because I'm sorry, I don't have a good voice, so I really don't know how to sing. So I put on a worship song and then I start praying in tongues. And usually, initially it was tough for me because then scriptures would drop into my mind and I'll just be like, is this me or is this the Holy Spirit? So I've learned over time to write down these scriptures as they drop. It might not make sense because there are times I go back to those things. I write them down there and then go over it when I'm done. And so many times it doesn't make sense to me. But then as the days go by, it begins to become clearer and I know that it's not flesh. So this must have come from the Holy Spirit. That's how I do my own thing. I don't know if Mama has something else to say.
Okay, let me repeat the question again. Please, can you give practical steps on how to listen to the Holy Spirit? So you've shared your experience, okay?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, first of all, you know, you have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit for you to hear him. So you have to have a relationship with Jesus. And it's a personal thing. And like Ebon said, even when you are in the midst of people, it's possible to hear the Holy Spirit. And I think the first thing we all need to do if we are interested in doing that is to train our minds. You see, because your mind is a gateway. And whatever you feed your mind is what you are going to get back. So you can't feed your mind with rubbish and expect to hear from the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. What do I mean? So, because we're just like, oh, I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me. I want God to speak to me. But are you studying the Word of God? Do you study? Do you take time out to study the Word of God? You know, God is a God of principles, and he's not going to lower his standards for anyone. So you can't say, you know, you want to hear from the Holy Spirit, but you are not studying God's word. You are not forgiving people. You are not loving. You are not kind. There's no way the Holy Spirit is going to speak to someone like that. So the Holy Spirit speaking to us is something that we develop. It's a relationship we develop time and time. It takes time. So you have to learn to be still for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. We have to learn to be there because some people might be here tonight and your mind might be somewhere else. So that's how powerful the human mind is. But I personally, over the years, as God has helped me, I've learned how to train my mind to receive from the Holy Spirit. So you have to study, because whatever the Holy Spirit is going to tell you, it's not going to be outside of God's word. Okay? So if you don't know God's word, how will you even know it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you? So it's a personal thing that you develop behind the doors, not looking at anyone, as the Holy Spirit gives instruction. What I found out sometimes is that when the Holy Spirit gives us an instruction, right, it sometimes sounds too stupid. We don't carry it out. If you don't carry out the last instruction, don't expect to hear anymore. There's going to be a blockage, because the last one he gave you, you didn't do anything about it. So it's very, very important for us to carry out whatever the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, from even taking a bus, the Holy Spirit will tell me, don't take that bus, take this one. There have been so many times that I've disobeyed and I've suffered the consequences. So practically, train your mind by listening, by studying the word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you from the little things in your house. For like when you lose your keys, you know, to saying, Holy Spirit, where are my keys? And it will drop a thought. It's a thought. It's not a big deal. It's just a thought. A thought will just come to your mind. Why don't you check under that chair? And then you check under the chair and you find the keys there. So that's how you train your mind. That's how you train yourself, you know, for the Holy Spirit. So it's in little things, not big and mighty things, just little things every day. Amen.
Amen. So we, I mean, from what they've said, the first thing is to find a way to stop our minds from wandering so that our minds can focus. And one very key thing, which I pick from what they're saying, the Holy Spirit will always speak to you primarily from the Word of God. So if you want the Holy Spirit to speak to you, let me just add this. The fastest, quickest, practical way, just open the Bible, study the Bible, and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you from what you're studying. When you're not clear, ask questions. Holy Spirit, what does this mean? Lord, I don't understand. So that's a very quick, practical, simple, down-to-earth, user-friendly, that the Holy Spirit can speak to you. And then one thing was highlighted, relationship. When you cultivate and you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God, with Jesus, then it's easier for you now to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is speaking. We have some gentlemen and ladies here. I'm pretty sure that if the three wives here are speaking, the husbands recognize the voice, distinct voice of your wives. If the three of them call you now on the phone, you will know which one is your wife. True or false? Do you agree? How did that happen? Relationship comes over time. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, how do I listen? I think part of this question too applies from the answers we've gotten. Okay, good. So we have to be a little bit child friendly here. How do I listen to the Holy Spirit when I'm doing school work? A child asked this. Except you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom. I'm not answering the question, I'm just saying. All right, please help our children. Well, the beautiful thing is that you both are in the children department. So how would you tackle this when a child asks you in the children department?
Right, so for whichever child asks this question, listen to me, okay? So the Holy Spirit is God, right? Is Jesus. Jesus, your Father, the Holy Spirit. And remember, if you were in my class, remember there was a time we talked about you know, receiving Jesus into our hearts to be our Lord and our Savior, that means Jesus becomes everything and you're all in all, and he's your friend. You know, you can talk to him just like you talk to your friend in school, in class. You can talk to Jesus at any point in time. So it's not any different with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, is the Spirit of God. So when you are doing your schoolwork, and let's say, for example, you're finding it difficult, you know, just first of all, make sure that your mind is focused on what you're doing. And secondly, just ask and say, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't understand English or maths or whatever it is. Help me. You know, because your mind has to be on whatever you're asking. And then listen. Listen. Like I said before, it's your thoughts. You know, it's not as if you're going to hear a very big voice. It's just the thoughts in your mind. A thought might just come to you to say, oh, why don't you ask that? Or mom, or why don't you do it this way? Or why don't you do it that way? So you have to really listen to your mind and not allow anything to distract you, to disturb you at that moment when you're studying. Because it's very, very important that you're focused on what you're doing. So when you ask, that's prayer, basically. That's what we do when we pray. You see, the Holy Spirit is by your side, is your friend. So he's listening to you. He knows everything, and he knows what you need. He knows, you know, where you're struggling. So it's something you can develop as you're growing up and ask him every single thing, no matter how simple it is. And then when you finish asking, don't jump up to go and do something else. Listen. Just be still. I know it's difficult for children to be still, but just be still for a minute or two and then listen, and a thought will just come to your mind to do something or to look at something, and that's how the Holy Spirit will speak to you.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, the questions are flowing now, so we need to run. Have there been times you thought it was the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't? And can you give examples? Have there been times you thought it was the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't? And give examples. Well, you're meditating on that. If you get the answer to that, if an example comes, let's go to the next one. Must I get married? There seems to be so much pressure to do this. Well, the two of you are married. Must I get married? So the anonymous person is under pressure, and they would need a sincere answer.
Okay, so I'm not saying I know a lot about marriage, but I think a lot of people are married for the wrong reasons, and I will explain. So some people think that marriage would complete them well, yeah? That's what God says, a man and a woman would come together and cleave and become one. But the truth of the matter is that what you don't have before, when you were on your own, don't automatically expect that you'll get it when you're married. Let me give you an example. So if you say, well, I've been single, I'm not happy, maybe if I get married, I'll be happier, I'll be more fulfilled. The other person is a human being like yourself. So if you're going into that marriage because you think another person will make you happy, then I don't think that is the reason why you should get married. And that's why I started by saying that most people get married for the wrong reasons. Now, the person that has asked this question, why do you want to get married and why don't you want to get married? There are two different things. You need to sit down and look at both sides. Are you thinking of marriage now because everyone is saying this is your age, you need to get married? Time is going, time is going. Or are you saying, I don't even want to get married because A, B, and C. you need to sit down and look at both of them. Marriage is not something you fall into because there's a lot of pressure. Because the pressure would go the moment you get married, but then you're in that thing. You're in that relationship, and you've got to wade through it yourself. I don't know if I've made sense. So I don't think pressure should be a criteria for one to get married.
Mm. Okay. Do you want to add anything quickly?
Well, so it's a personal thing. So that person that asked the question has to go to God and to find the answer.
Must I get married?
It's up to you whether you want to get married or not. You know, nobody can really answer that question for you. So you know the reasons why you want to or why you don't want to. So because at the end of the day, when you get married, you're not going to be living with people. You're going to be living with your spouse. People are not going to matter. They'll come on that day after reception, eat your food, and then they'll go. And then reality check, you know, life begins. So it's up to you. Because nowadays, the pressure is people. We want to please people. You don't have to please anyone. Please God. Know God for yourself. Know what God is saying to you and stand by it. Stand by whatever God is saying. So go back to God and get clarity, whether it's fair, whatever it is, but you must leave people out of it because you have to live your life for God and for yourself. Amen.
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 Sorry, I wanted to ask these people here, but it's too late. Must you get married? All right, let's go quickly because of time. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Please marry for the right reason. Find out what marriage is, if I should just chip that in. God's purpose for marriage. And follow God's purpose and plan. Don't marry for any other reason except what reason God gives. All right. Sometimes I still find myself remembering former things. It starts with one thought, and this leads on to many things. Any advice on how to shut this door? Sometimes I still find myself remembering former things. It starts with one thought, and this leads on to many things. Any advice on how to shut this door? We're talking about shut the door.
You have to work on your thoughts. That's what I do. One of my favorite scriptures is Philippians 4:8. It says...
Can we bring it up, please?
Whatsoever things are true... I hope I still remember what
Philippians 4:8. Don't worry, they'll bring it up for you now. All right?
So finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praise, meditate on these things. So King James Version says, think on these things. The greatest battle that we fight is in our minds. If we can win the battle in our minds, then we've won not all, but most of the battles. So, and, you know, that's why it's very important what we feed our minds. It's important the music you listen to. It's very important the people you listen to, the people who speak into your life. It's important the people you speak to. It's important the company that you keep. Because whether we realize it or not, all these things affect our minds. Has it ever happened to you before? You're minding your business. You are in St. John's. You're working through, it still happened to me today. I was going to work, so I was walking through St. John's to get the bus, and this Ed Sheeran song was playing, and I know it'd be Ed Sheeran because my son told me one long time ago anyway. So I was walking through St. John's, got to the office, and this song just came to my mind. And I was like, what is this? So I had to, you know, I've learned over the years of being a Christian how to switch. So that's something you have to train yourself personally to do. Like you train your child, you have to train your mind. So I quickly switched. I was like, no. So you caught it. That's how to do it. You caught that thought immediately, and you replace that thought with something that is of God, that is from God's word. And like what I said earlier on, if you don't know God's word, what are you going to replace it with? So that's the problem. So we have to know God's word. So that's what you do. You cut it immediately. If you can't, then go somewhere where you can listen to music, something that will just prep you up, that will take your mind away from that thought. Sometimes I speak to myself. I speak to myself. And I tell myself, Wura, you can't do this. Wura, you can't think like this. You are a child of God. You've got to have faith. You've got to encourage yourself. I stand in front of a mirror sometimes and I do it. That's what I do. I speak to myself. And if you go through the Bible, you see, because you have to do something physical to stop it. Maybe listening to music, speaking to yourself, putting your earphones on the bus or whatever you are at that moment. You just cut it. But we have to learn how to train our minds. And also, we have to learn not to be listening to everything. It's not everything you listen to on TV. It's not every music you listen. Sometimes you don't have a choice, but most of the time you have a choice. People are talking, they are jesting in the office, and you are sitting there, you are laughing. You don't know that these things are going into your mind. And then you leave work, you get home, and your mind begins to replay them back. So that's it.
Okay. Do you want to add anything? No, if you don't.
I think what I was going to say is that, yes, that there are times that we need to remember former things, really, so that we learn from it.
No, sorry, okay. Just go on.
Because
somebody has just fired me. It's okay.
Because
that's why I'm standing here. Don't worry.
Because in remembering some of these former things, you will know how not to do some things in your present. I don't know if that makes
Please
sense.
Please say that again. Say that again.
So in remembering some former things, you will learn how not to do some things in your present. So we're talking about now. Say I made a mistake last year.
Okay.
And I'm trying to let go of former things. But then I'm faced with that same situation right now in the present time.
So you are remembering.
I have to remember the mistakes I made so that I go about that situation in the present in another way. I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay.
So yes, from this scripture that we read in Philippians 4, we need to dwell on what the Bible says.
What is
things
true,
that are true, pure, noble, pure, trustworthy, all those things. But at the same time, if that former thing is not something that is going to edify you or glorify God, say, for example, someone did something to you last year that really hurt you, and obviously it's not going to do anything, it's not going to take anything from you. Maybe you greeted the person and the person did not answer you and you're holding on to that. I mean, how will that make any difference in the present, if that makes sense? So it's such things that you're being encouraged to let go and not remember those things. But there are situations and circumstances that you really need to think about the mistakes you've made or how you did something and how you can do it differently this time around.
Okay. Thank you for that. Let me just say something about you find yourself remembering former things. Perhaps, maybe the person who put that, you find out that maybe the former things you remember are things people have done to you. Like hurt you, said something, what somebody did, what somebody did not do. And then you keep dwelling and dwelling and dwelling. Now, I went through something very practical last year that just helped me, which I just want to chip in. I went through a 21-day in three circles where I decided I wanted to start dealing with my thoughts. And what I simply did was the first 21 days I will decide which toxic thought, the things that I shouldn't be thinking about that I know I think about, how will I get rid of it? So I came out of that experience with one practical thing I do. When I remember what someone has done to me, And before you know it, you want to talk about it. That's one mistake we make. So I made up my mind, I'm not going to talk about it. One. Two. Whatever the person has said or done, I just used it as an opportunity to start praying for the person. And when I say praying for the person, rather than getting angry, let me tell you, if you pray to God for someone, you'll find out that the love of God will start filling your heart for that person. You try it. That's a practical way. So the former things like you're saying, you remember, pray about them. What can you learn from them? As you're remembering, if you can't get rid of the thought, maybe you need to do something with the thought, something more positive. So just to chip that in. Thank you for that. By the powers vested on me, I will delete that question there. I will plead that Pastor Mrs. is allowed to preach on Sundays because she has a lot to feed me. Have you taken it away? No, let me read it. Okay, thank you for that prayer. The Lord will answer that prayer to the glory of God. We just flow with the Spirit, and God will direct and answer every prayer of our hearts. Okay, for the question about hearing the Holy Spirit, I am led to advise parents to show children 1 Samuel 3, the story of how Samuel learned to hear God. Okay, thank you for that suggestion and the advice. 1 Samuel chapter 3, so parents, please write that down. The story of how Samuel learned to hear God. Okay, what do you do when kids are being mean to you in school? Do you fight back? Or respond some other way? Question from a child. Thank God for these children. What's the time? Because we've got to stop. Okay, we'll stop in 8 minutes. I think that's the last question, except that one about the examples. Okay, so a child is asking when other children are being mean to them in school, should they fight back? Or respond some other way? Yes, moms.
Okay. So I've been blessed with the schools my children have gone to so far, and we've not had issues like this. But I think it was sometime last year, Daniel kept on coming home and was, you know, complaining about a particular boy in his class.
Mm.
And you know, initially, what I used to say to them is, if anyone is nasty, and that's a question I ask them once I pick them, how was school today? Was school okay? Was anyone nasty? Did anyone say anything bad? Did anyone hurt you? Those are the questions I run through. So, and they always give me, you know, the answers, but he kept on coming home and coming home. And then when I ask them those things, I normally end with, you know what, when you go to school, if people don't want to play with you, there are other people. Move on and play with other people. You don't have to respond the way they've treated you or anything. But then Daniel kept on talking about this boy, and there was a day he came home, and what he said was a bit scary because there was an action the guy did. And I just told my husband, and he said, he said, "And you're telling me?" So I had to go to the school. And I went to the teacher and said, "You know what? This has been going on for quite some time." And initially, I just thought, you know, children will always be children. But then this boy has done this, and I don't think this is something to be taken lightly anymore. And the teacher was appalled. She was really, really appalled. And she said to me, "I will see to it." So she tried to calm everything down. And I think the next day, the guy came and apologized to Daniel. And I think it was just yesterday or 2 days ago, I was still asking him, "How has this boy been?" And he said, "The boy has been very good to him." Now, as parents, what I'm going to say is this. You know your children, and we are meant to be the light in this dark world. If a child is nasty to your child, and you know, I don't expect any one of us here will tell that child to behave the same way. So, in quote, to retaliate. I won't expect anyone to do that. What I would tell my child is, what I normally say is, if people don't want to play with you, there are other children you can play with. if other children don't want to play with you, then you take books to school, read your book yourself. When they see that you're keeping to yourself, they will try and be friends with you. It has happened over and over and over again. Now they have friends. And that's why I said, I'm not sure if I'm the right person to answer this question, but you can't teach your children to repay evil with evil. I don't know if that makes sense. It's not showing them the example. And even though it's not our children, I think there was a time that children were nasty to a child in Zara school, and she went to the child and ended up encouraging that child. And in short, the thing she said after that even scared me, because she ended up telling the girl about Bible. And I said, who sent you that? Because that's not what, before they call me. You know, so she encouraged the girl and she became friends with that girl. So it's about us setting our children as example and telling them that they're the light. So if things are going this way, they don't have to go that way with them. They need to go this way so that other people can see.
Thank you very much for that. So don't repay evil for evil. Do you want to add to that?
If the child is old enough, one thing that I've learned as an adult, and it's applicable to children as well, is the Bible encourages us to pray for those that hurt us. So I pray for people that hurt me. And that's one of the ways by which I heal quickly. Amen. So I'll say that don't retaliate whatever they do to you. Like Ebun said, you don't have to. It's hard for children. It's very, very hard for children to go into the playground. And you always have it in schools where there's these cool kids, there's these cool children that everybody wants to be their friend. You're trying to get into their company and they don't want anyone. And I said to the children in my class and to my children when they were growing up, they are still growing up anyway, they're big grown now. So if someone doesn't want to play with you, leave them alone. So I tell the children in my class now, look out for the people in your class that nobody wants to play with. The ones that don't look right, the ones that don't smell right, the ones that don't have lunches, the ones that nobody, because they speak somehow or they look somehow. Go and play with those ones, because we have to teach our children to be strong. We have to teach our children to be resilient. We have to train them to know that not everyone in this world will like you, even Jesus. So who are we? So we have to train our children to know that, because sometimes it's insecurity. It's because our children are not secure. And we have to get them from a very young age to be secure in themselves, to be secure in the color of their skin, in who they are. Not to let anybody tell them that they are better than them because of the way they look, or because of what they have, or because of what they don't have. If we bring up our children that way, when they go into school and somebody is trying to do something to them because of whatever they don't have, it's not going to matter to that child, because that child has been told. Because sometimes parents are at fault, I have to say. Because we try to make up. You can't continue to shield your children forever. You have to let them know that this is the way life is. Life is not fair. At times, people are not going to be fair. But don't retaliate. Report to the teacher. You know, if the teacher is not taking any action, when you get home, tell daddy, tell mommy, and let them go to the school. And I'll advise that, please, go to the teacher. Don't go to the child. Because some parents have done it before in church, where there were issues, and an adult just went straight for a child. Don't do that, please. Go to the school. Go to the teacher. There are principles in place in school. There are things in place for these things. Go to the child's teacher. Don't go to the child's mother or father. Go to the teacher. If the teacher does not do anything, go to the head teacher. But let's train our children to be secure in God. Let's introduce them to God early. And let's keep it up every single day, teaching them the word of God, bringing them up in God's ways, and letting them be secure in themselves, leading them to Christ. You think, what does a four-year-old know? A four-year-old knows a lot, a lot. There are ways you can break down the Bible to little children from the age of two. you can break it down. We need to start doing that. Because when they're in school, you are not with them. But God is with them. So introduce them to the Holy Spirit early. And let them know that the Holy Spirit is their friend. And that the Holy Spirit will help them. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I think it's 8:30 already. And I think we've covered all the questions except, I don't know, the one of the example where you thought it was the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't. If you can't think of any, please don't manufacture it. You can't remember. Yeah, let's not force anything. When we remember, maybe in the course of any other time, that will be. Please, let's appreciate God. Let's thank God for our panelists. And please, if you still have questions that are not answered, we can write them down, put them in the offering basket, and it's not just here. And also feel free. That's why we, you know, you can talk to Dr. Ebo, talk to my wife, if you want to ask more questions. It doesn't necessarily have to be through the pulpit. That's another way we build relationship, you know. So let's just take it like that. Amen. So we've come to the end of the question and answer session for January 2020. Let's bow our heads. Maybe some questions were fully answered. Maybe some you're still seeking for more. Just ask God that he has the answers and he should clarify things more to us. And Lord, we just thank you for how you've led tonight. Holy Spirit, you are the one who is the ultimate teacher, guide into all truth. Just guide every one of us into the truth of the Word of God. In the name of Jesus. As you have spoken, confirm every word with signs following. Even in the simplicity of the question and answer, confirm firmly. And as many as are here tonight that do not know the voice of your word, Lord, make yourself known. Fill every hungry heart. And thank you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. To you be all the glory and praise and honor and adoration. In Jesus' name, amen.